This is episode number 436 with Timothy Sykes.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Hello, all you beautiful individuals. I am so excited about this interview with my friend Tim Sykes. Why? Because he just wrote a check for $1 million to the charity that I love the most, Pencils of Promise. Not $100,000, not $500,000, $1 million. Now, why is that significant to me? You know, Tim just went to Laos recently where he saw one of the schools that he donated to be built over there, and he saw the entire organization and how it was run and what was happening over there. And he was so inspired that he said, okay, I'm going to do something big. I'm going to write a $1 million check. And I was blown away by this generosity. I was blown away by Tim in general. Why? Because there's so many people that may not jive with Tim Sykes. They may not like the way he promotes things. They may not like how he talks about money. If you look at his social media accounts, there's constantly lots of money being posted in his images. Lots of Ferraris, beautiful destinations, Lamborghinis, all these other things. Now, some people really don't like that. They don't like money being out there. They don't like talking about money. And those are the people that usually don't make money. Those are the people that usually are in a scarce mindset, the ones that feel uncomfortable talking about it, seeing other people talk about it. So some of the things that Tim does rubs people the wrong way. Now, I've known Tim for, I believe, over 7 or 8 years now, where I've really built a relationship where I know who he is. He's such a generous human being. Every time I'm around him, he's giving. He's giving, and he cares about people. And this just justifies even more his level of commitment to giving back and his level of service. And I don't know too many people who write $1 million checks to nonprofit organizations. And for me, it's just so inspiring. So for those that do not know who Tim Sykes is, he's a penny stock trader that turned $12,000 into over $4.5 million while he's visited over 100 countries. And now he teaches people how to do the same. He's got many millionaire students who've gone through his training and replicated this process. And he's got many six-figure earners and thousands of students from all over the world. And we talk about why giving back is so important. And if you're just focusing on making money, like Tim does, he makes a lot of money. But if you're just focusing on that, it's not going to be rewarding. And we talk about the importance of giving back. Also, the value of building your business and wealth according to what you know, not what others tell you. This is so important. We also cover why Tim doesn't let the haters get to him. Again, there's a lot of haters out there who don't like what Tim does, that don't like the way he promotes his things and talks about money the way he does and posts the photos he does. Which make sure you go check out his social media so you can see what I'm talking about. But he doesn't let it get to him. Also, the best way to pick a nonprofit to support. Tim has supported dozens of them, and he's found a few key ones that he really puts more time and energy into. And how to build a business that makes you happy, not just one that makes you money. And guys, this is a massive one because so many people email me and ask me questions about business ideas that they have, because they're good opportunities to make money. You're going to get burnt out quickly, and Tim and I cover more on that. Guys, I'm super pumped. Make sure you share this out with your friends, lewishowes.com/436. Let's get the word out about this. I'm so grateful that Tim made a donation for $1 million to the organization that I support the most, Pencils of Promise. And without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only, Timothy Sykes. Welcome everyone back to the School of Greatness podcast. Got a good buddy of mine, Tim Sykes, in the house. Good to see you, bro.
Thanks for having me.
We're just talking about our age. You'll be 36 in April.
I'm 35 right now. That's what we're discussing. Going to the future. Live in the present, Lewis. Yes,
I'll be 34 in March. And we met probably like 6 or 7 years ago, right?
Something like that.
I think we met in Time Warner Center. Do you remember this? For like brunch or something? Is that where we first met?
I don't remember.
No,
we were
actually,
young bucks. We were in our 20s.
I first met you. What? Actually, I take it back. I first met you at some blogging conference in either Vegas or New York or an affiliate
Blog Expo.
Dude, Blog Expo. And you were talking about membership sites.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember this.
Yeah,
it had to be 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
And,
wow. Look at your memory.
And then we met at the Time Warner Center for like brunch at one of those like unhealthy brunch places looking over like the Whole Foods. Like we were looking at good food, but we ate like bad food or something.
Yeah.
And we've been buddies for a while. I think you have you've created an incredible brand for yourself. You've done extremely well financially. For those that don't know who Tim is, he is a penny stock trader. Is kind of like your day job, let's say, but you do it yourself and then you teach others how to do it, but you do much more than that. You give a lot of money that you make away. And how much have you given away in the last year?
I started the Timothy Sykes Foundation about like a year and a half ago, but the charity world is very hit or miss. There's a lot of charities that, you know, I don't want to just give money to for charities, it'll do good. Like there's a lot of charities that don't manage their money properly and they don't give properly. So I was very hesitant at first.
They're run by people who aren't business people. And so they're run by people like just have these lofty like dreams of like helping, but they don't know how to run business.
A lot of idealists. And it's good to be an idealist, but I want the money, you know, doing good. We didn't work this hard to make this money just to like throw it into the air and sing kumbaya. So I'm sorry to the charity world. It's very different than the business world. So it took me a little while, but now, in the past year and a half, we've given away, you know, close to $2 million.
Yeah.
And we're just getting started. We're literally just ramping. Like it took a solid 9 months of research, like little investments, little donations, just trying to see what charity is best and has the most scalability and is the most effective.
Mm.
So it's like stock research. It takes time.
Mm. Now, why did you start the Timothy Sykes Foundation in the first place?
I've done well in the stock market. I've done well in the coaching and teaching business. And, you know, I like making money. I'm a capitalist. I'm not like a communist, but at the same time, it's kind of cool to give back. And, you know, I didn't just start giving back now. I mean, I donated to Tulane University. I have a scholarship there.
Wow.
I actually donated while I was in college. Kind of
really?
Helped me graduate college.
wow.
On that thing. And then also, you know, I took this philanthropy class at Tulane. And so I was a wish granter for Make-A-Wish. So I've been granting wishes and donating to Make-A-Wish for, over a decade. And they're a fantastic organization. But then I wanted my own like formal charity, like a 501c3 charity so that we can really, you know, give and do better rather than just me personally giving. So we created this charity organization and now, you know, it's an official thing where we have like several people who actually help research and give donations.
And do you have a goal each year of how much you want to give, or is it based on percentages of what you make? Or
I mean, it's not just money. Like I know a lot of people, like that's the headline number. Like, oh, we want to talk about money. Like I'm here to really frankly announce the fact that I'm donating $1 million to Pencils of Promise. That's a big headline number. That's fantastic. This is my first 7-figure donation, but it's about what can this number do? What can your money do? Mm. And even if you don't have money, what can, you know, you do to help an organization? So I know making $1 million, donating $1 million, fantastic stuff, but it's not just about money. And your listeners and your viewers out there, I don't know which camera to look into.
You're good there.
This one?
Yes.
You guys can help even if you don't have $1 million. The charity world needs volunteers and expertise. You know, a lot of people think like, oh, you just have to like go feed people at soup kitchens or give money. Like there's a whole thing in between.
Yeah.
And Pencils of Promise has become my favorite charity. Yeah. They have a lot of business people. You know, they manage it very well. They have Bain, you know, ex-Bain people who are in like VC and private
big
equity.
Advisory board of experts. Yeah.
You're on the advisory board.
Yeah.
You're a lifetime member. I'm a new advisory board member.
Yes.
So it's about just, you know, doing what's best and trying to give back. And so I actually created a DVD. I have several DVDs, training guides in the stock market, but I made this one guide called How to Make Millions. If you go to howtomakemillions.com, all of this guide goes to charity. And I spent nearly a year making this guide.
Wow.
I don't make a dime off of it. And this one guide has become my best-selling guide.
Really?
It's 35 hours long, all for charity. So I like to teach and give back. And then I also make, you know, some money in the stock market and make some money coaching too. But it's more fulfilling. You know, I mean, I just got a new Lamborghini. I have my Ferrari. It's, it gets old after
you travel
a while.
to every beautiful place in the world.
I've been to 106 countries now. I'm going to Cambodia next month and the Philippines. That's a new country. Every now and then I like to add a new country. But
you've seen everything beautiful. You've tried every.
I haven't been to Australia yet. Australia and New Zealand. I know.
Oh my gosh.
The time zone is tough for the stock market. So I've avoided like tough time zones. I just got back from Laos, you know, with Pencils of Promise and Japan. I took my family there. They'd never been to Asia before. My parents got sick, but you know, they're not used to it. So.
Sure, sure.
It was interesting.
But you've bought everything expensive that you could buy with your money.
Yeah.
You've traveled first class and private jets all over the world. You've been in the most exclusive restaurants in the world. You've you've had expensive clothes and watches and cars. You've tried all the toys, and at the end of the day, it's still boring.
It's fun for a little bit, but it's boring. I still have fun. Like my new Lamborghini is fun, but it's not what's fulfilling.
You don't need 10 Lamborghinis.
You don't.
You know?
You really don't. And, you know, you just need to figure out what makes you happy and what fulfills you in this life. Mm. And, you know, giving back to others and charity and seeing the world. Once you start seeing the world, I think more people should travel because it'll open up their whole perspective. You know, seeing kids who have no shoes and they're, you know, taping plastic water bottles to the bottom of their feet so that their feet don't get too hot on the hot ground. Like, it blows your mind. And most people don't get to experience that. I mean, we complain about stupid things like we have no Wi-Fi, like we have slow service, you know, someone like there's traffic and we don't realize.
Disconnected.
Yeah, we live in a bubble. Yeah. And once you travel, especially to these third world countries, you really opens your mind up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you start viewing life a little differently. You have more compassion and it makes you a better person. So it's not just about giving back to others. It's about, you know, learning what really completes you. Mm. It's kind of selfish. You know,
It's the most fulfilling thing there is.
It is. I'm trying to figure out what makes me happy and fulfilled.
It is giving more.
And giving more. So, you know, it's not like, oh, you're such a good person. Like, I'm just trying to be happy here. Mm. Like, I think everyone's trying to be happy, but most people in New York and LA and Miami and the bubble that we kind of live in, they get happy with like prescription drugs and, you know, material things.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people on Wall Street, they make much more money than I do, but they're not happy and they're slaves to their job and they're slaves to their location. Like they have to, you know, wear these fancy suits. They have to be in their office. They have to work specific hours because if they don't, someone else is, you know, more than willing to take advantage of that. So for me, I'd actually like to personally make less profits myself and live and enjoy and learn what makes me happy. That's why when I travel to these countries, I'm stock trading, I'm teaching. When I was in Laos, everyone in the charity thought I was insane because we're doing charity work, we're visiting these schools during the day, I'm trading stocks at night, everyone else is sleeping. I minimize my sleep a little bit, but I loved every second of it. So you just have to find what fulfills you.
Yeah. And you're also, I think, a slave to the pressures of your peers in those locations. If you're like in this fancy job in Wall Street or something, you've got to have the nice car. You've got to get the next nice thing in order to like kind of keep up with your friends. Otherwise, you're judged or you're looked down on or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's pressures.
Well, I think a lot of people worry too much about what other people in their industry, you know, think and other people think.
Yeah.
I think people do need to be more selfish. You know, they need to focus on what makes them happy. And they'll be surprised, I think, what the answer is. And, you know, we need to get more exposure for charities. That's what it comes down to. Like, I post all these pictures and videos on social media. Some people are like, you should just give and be quiet. And I'm like, no, I'm proud of it. It's my project. Like, I'm very happy to share it. And some of my followers have donated money now, too. I wish that I could find the words to share, like, how it makes you feel when you help these people who have so little. I mean, Pencils of Promise. I mean, you've been to Laos. Yep. I saw your tags on Instagram. Yes. You and me, we have photos next to each other, and you were there a year before me. But like these kids have nothing, and you literally give them one pencil. And think about giving somebody a pencil here in the U.S. Like,
they'd like, trash
what is this? Yeah, they would trash it. And there, the kids, I mean, the charity people gave me like 50 pencils and I was going to give them out and the kids were hesitant. And I was like, come on. And they were going crazy for these pencils. And I had no idea. And, you know, it was supposed to be like an organized line. I kind of screwed up.
There you go.
But it was just like, I would not have expected kids or anybody to be so overwhelmed with pencils. And it makes you realize, you know, the little things really matter to other people.
And it brings them so much joy.
So much joy.
And it makes a big impact.
They have nothing and they're still so happy.
Yeah.
And we have so much and the vast majority of us are so unhappy. So you need to, if you're unhappy out there, you need to like think a little different, you know? Mm-hmm. So I teach stock trading. I teach that. That's cool. I teach soon to be blogging. You know, I'm going to get into that business with Blog Millionaire. So I basically built a nice little business blogging. But aside from just the money that you can make, what can you do with your life? What is it? What is your life
experiences,
about?
Experiences,
what is your life about?
Yeah, it's about
what do you think your life is about?
Personally, it's for my mission is to impact 100 million people, to show them how to make
money. Why only 100 million?
To start.
Okay, good.
That's just the goal
good.
To start.
All right, just put that in
to
there.
Get there.
I want you to get more ambitious.
Hey, I feel like it's a big goal right now, and once I hit it, then I can recreate a new dream.
How do you know if you've reached 100 million people?
I mean, I'm tracking it through different ways, through download numbers, through book sales, through course sales, through speaking gigs, things like that. It's not going to be an exact science, but it's going to be a rough estimate of how many people we reach and who are going through the information and the products and the systems. But I think for me, that gives me something measurable to reach towards and to build towards.
Yeah.
And why? Because I feel like when people make, when they're doing what they love a majority of the time and they make a full-time income doing the thing they love, I feel they take care of their health better. They take care of the people in their lives better. They're more rewarded, fulfilled. They're more inspiring to be around. And that for me is a good life.
Because they're now a complete person. The sad fact is that most people never get the opportunity to be complete, to even have the ability to find out what they love because they're working. You know, they have bills to pay. They have responsibilities. 75% of people hate their jobs and they're spending the vast majority of their life at these jobs that they hate. So it's like this cycle, you know, with the student loans and the debts and the mortgages, and you can't break out of the cycle. Like they listen to your podcast, they're inspired. But what I wish that they could do is study outside their jobs, you know, like listen to your podcast, read your book, like read my stuff outside of your working hours. And that way at night on weekends, you just learn a little bit and you grow your mind and you say, wait a minute, I can make a little extra side money, maybe part-time doing different stuff on the internet. This is a technological revolution after all.
Yes.
And then you can eventually, gradually, hopefully get out of the cycle, get out of the rat race, and then focus on what you love and learn to focus on what you love. Most people don't even have that ability. I'm very fortunate. You're very fortunate. We've been to Laos. We have the ability to leave.
Yeah.
You know, most people, they would love to go to Laos or wherever, but they can't. They have their job. So you have to look at the cycle that most people are in, and I think we have to break it. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to education. And thanks to the internet and thanks to these tools that are brand new in the past decade that never existed before, people can learn from anywhere. I'm very proud. I have students in over 80 countries.
Wow.
And I have a few millionaire students, but I have more upcoming. And it starts with asking yourself a question. What can I do to be happy? How can I get there? How can I have more time to find out what makes me happy? A few questions, not just one question.
I like those. Now, how many millionaire students do you have?
Right now we have five.
Five students. So it means five students have gone through, signed up for one of your programs and started with a bank account and then grew it to over $1 million.
Correct.
In profit through penny stock trading.
Correct. And even though, you know, penny stock trading is looked down upon by the whole world, pretty much, a lot of what my top students do is short sell. So they bet against them because a lot of these companies are very kind of sketchy companies and they're bound to go down. And a lot of people don't want to think about this like, oh, this hurts my head, like taking a negative position, betting against crappy companies. But that's what I teach. It's a strategy. You know, you can make money on the way up and you can make money on the way down. We don't make money all the time. But a few of these students have breached the seven-figure mark, just like I have. Now I have actually two students, Stephen Ducks and Mark Crook, who have each now made $600,000 in a few years. It takes time. It's not like overnight. It's not like, oh, you're going to be a millionaire after day one or week one or month one or even year one. Mm-hmm. But you learn the strategy. You learn the intricacies. You see where the opportunities are, and that's how you get financial freedom. Mark Crook, not a millionaire, my student, but because he's made like $670,000 now. He's made $25,000 in the past 2 days. I just talked with him. I was like, calm down, stop. And he's like, but I could have made $40,000. I was like, you made $25,000 in 2 days. You're fine. Calm down. And, you know, he used to work at a cubicle job in Texas. He hated it. He was, I think, an accountant. Now he's moved to Miami, met the love of his life. They just got married. I went to their wedding. Beautiful affair. And, you know, six figures changes your life. So a lot of people out there think that they need to make like 100 million or like 50 million. You don't. Right. I've met people with 50 or 100 million. They're screwed up in the head. Okay. Yeah. I've met billionaires. Like you can barely talk to them. They're so alien compared to the rest of us because of how much money they have. I don't want that. So it's also another good thing. If you do get that rich, give it away.
Yeah.
Give a lot of it away because, you know, there's
you don't
like,
need it.
You don't need it and you shouldn't want it because it's going to mess with you. Like I know so many people who have 50, 100, 200 million. They are not happy. It goes back to the whole happiness thing. Mm. A lot of people who don't even have a million or don't have, you know, 10,000. Half of America doesn't even have $10,000 to their name. And they think that you need all this money and then your problems are solved and you're happy. You look at the lotto winners, they're not happy.
Right.
Lotto winners, by and large, are not very good in life. Hollywood stars, when they're kid stars, they're screwed up. When they're Disney people, they're screwed up. Mm. So you start to look, what can I do to get happy? It's not just about money. It's about, you know, self-sufficiency and finding yourself. And for me, it's not, you know, I took 12,000. I'm now at 4.5 million in trading profits. That's cool. But the journey along the way helped me find myself and build myself. And I chose not to work on Wall Street, but to travel all over the world because I love that personally.
Yeah.
Do you love to travel?
Love it, man. Love it. How many months on the road are you for traveling the year?
I mean, I go back and forth. It just depends on the city. It just depends on the time. Yeah. Like I'm 2 weeks, I'm going to be in Cambodia. I have another school opening with the Cambodian Village Fund.
Amazing.
This has been a year in development. So they just told me like a date. This is when the school will be opening.
So you go to check it out. Yeah.
So I'm going to Cambodia and then I'm adding the Philippines cause I've never been there. So that's going to be kind of cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
Try different stuff, but see how it feels.
Yeah.
I want more people thinking like scientists, like testing, 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 refining, 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 but you got to break the rat race cycle where it's just like money is going to solve everything. It won't.
Yeah. I hear you.
Even though I teach how to make money, that's, you know, it's kind of contradictory. Some people are like, well, why do you focus?
You want to
so
make
much?
Money to have some flexibility and freedoms in your life.
Exactly. You need to
it's
get
not everything.
You need to get out of, you know, working for somebody else's dreams. So if you have a little savings or some money, then you're working on your own dreams.
Right. Exactly. Now, talking about penny stocks for a moment, why is it so looked down upon? Do you think Wolf of Wall Street is like something that's brought it more to light or and made it even worse? Or
I mean, it's always happened. I mean, penny stocks are small companies under $5 a share. They're very speculative. Like you have a lot of degenerate gamblers trading this stuff, thinking, oh, this is the next Microsoft. It never is. So they look at it like these long-term investments, which you never, ever should look at any penny stock or really any stock in particular as a long-term investment. Wow. 70% of all stocks drop every year. People don't even realize this.
Really?
The stock market is like one giant casino, you could say, but also it's geared towards insiders and companies. Why does a company become a public stock? Because they need to raise money. Why do they need to raise money? Maybe their competitors are getting ahead of them. Snapchat, you know, Instagram is crushing them with Instagram stories right now. So Snapchat has to go public. They're not necessarily going to be the best company to invest in, even though their product is hot. Financially speaking, they're not good. Penny stocks are even smaller. They only have one or two products. They don't have billions of users like Snapchat or Facebook. So they're very speculative companies. So what you have to do is look at them properly. And what my top students and I have learned to do, even though we don't win every time, you know, get that out of your head thinking like, oh, you're going to win all the time.
What's your winning percentage
right now? I win roughly 74% of the time. But when I'm wrong, I cut my losses quickly. So a lot of it is just discipline and rules. You know, like if you're on your diet, you're on your diet right now, you stick to the rules. If you're trading stocks, you stick to the rules. Like sometimes I'm wrong and the stock goes against me. A lot of people have that problem where the stock is going against them and then they add to their position because they don't want to lose because their ego gets involved. With me, if I lose, I have to share everything publicly. I share every single trade in real time transparently. Sometimes I look like a freaking idiot where the stock just goes against me right away. But that's good for me because I learned to cut my losses quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Take a small loss, move on. Something I thought about, something in my thesis was wrong. And I move on and I live to fight another day.
Yeah, I see you posting all the losses on Instagram and Twitter. You're like, I just lost 1,000 a day or I made $6,000 a day.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that you're showing your life of what's happening in real time.
Well, that's the key. It's all transparency on the internet. And you've learned this. You've built your brand based on transparency. There's a lot of people doing podcasts and stuff like that. But you've been more transparent than most and more inspirational than most. The more honest you can be with your following and your social media, the better. Obviously, there's limits. You know, you got to work on privacy a little bit. I have to work on privacy. I overshare sometimes too much.
Yeah.
So I'm working on that. But just be real. That's the secret to success on the internet. Just be real. There's so many scams. There's so many sketchy people. Like they're trying to make all this money in like affiliate business and network marketing in like 1 year. And then they burn their whole email list and they burn everybody with these crap products and no one wants to come back to them. I've been teaching now for 8 years and our business is doubling every year because we're just real. We don't say, oh, can you guarantee me profits? No, I can't guarantee you profits. I can guarantee you knowledge and I can guarantee you education. I can teach you every single thing that I've learned from 18 years of stock trading. And while I can't guarantee your success, education is your only chance. If you don't have education, if you don't study the past, what are you doing? Then you're truly gambling. So all I can do is teach and teach honestly. And frankly, I'm very fortunate to have dedicated students. All of my millionaire students and six-figure students, they study so much. I have 4,000 video lessons now. I make a video lesson every single day.
You're a machine, man.
But I find education everywhere. Like if I have a good trade, if I have a bad trade, here are five lessons. Here are good takeaways from my good trade. Here are takeaways from my bad trade. I'm basically just a glorified history teacher.
Yeah.
And if you study the past, that's your key to your future. But most people don't want to study the past. They just want hot stock picks. Like, I don't want to put in 45 minutes to learn about this company. Just tell me a company to buy. No, that's the wrong attitude. There's a lot of people who make hot picks out there. There's an ugly bald guy on CNBC. He's right about 35% of the time. His numbers are crashing because he's just hot picks. You're giving in to the gamblers. So
you do a lot of research for all your picks or?
Research and just mindset and positioning. Like all of these students, you know, they've been with me for years. They watch every single thing. They learn from their gains. They learn from their losses. And you have to realize that that's kind of like life. You know, we all make mistakes along the way. Too many of us are too hard on ourselves, I think. When you have a mistake, not just in the stock market, but just in life, and you screw up and you're like, get down on yourself for, I see people get down on themselves for weeks or months and they're you know, they turn to drinking or they can't like have any confidence in themselves whatsoever. Even if you're the most successful person in the world, even if you're a millionaire or a billionaire, or forget about money, just have had success in whatever industry. You make mistakes. What the most successful people have learned to do is learn from those mistakes. You don't want to make a mistake and try to forget about it and then have it happen again and again and again throughout your life. I make a mistake. I write a whole blog post about it. Here's my stupid mistake so that all my followers can see I'm not that smart. I'm not that great at math, but I'm real. And if you're trying to build a business on the internet, actually what I think people should share more of their mistakes and lessons learned along the way, the hard fought lessons, because that's what gets, you know, people really loyal. Like, whoa, this guy's different. He's not like winning 100% of the time. He's sharing everything. And this goes with everybody, you know, even in charity world, there are mistakes that are made. And on Wall Street, there's tons of mistakes that are made, but no one wants to admit it because they are afraid of it making them look bad and then losing that business to somebody else. What they don't realize is that because everybody thinks like this, it creates this whole alternate reality where everyone thinks that they have to be perfect all the time. You don't. It's okay to lose. Which camera is it?
No, either one.
It's okay. It's okay to lose. It's okay to make mistakes. True success, you know, takes time. I mean, your podcast, how many years have you been doing this?
4 years next week.
And I think it was an Instagram story where you talked about like the growth. It's a marathon.
Yep.
You didn't have success right away,
yeah,
but you kept going. We're episode 400 plus.
430 something, yeah.
It's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And you're learning and you've gotten better. And now I feel like I'm in a helicopter and your studio's gotten better, but you optimize over time. And no matter what anybody out there is listening, no matter what industry they're in, you have to test and you're fine over time and you have to stick with it. Too many people give up too quickly. They try something new and they're like, oh, this feels weird. I'm uncomfortable. I made a mistake. I lost, like in the stock market, or, you know, if they start their own podcasting channel and they're like, I spent all this time on this podcast and only 3 listeners. Okay. What can you do better next time? I write a book, you know, lots of people write books. They don't sell like the School of Greatness.
Right.
Okay. So they give up and they say, oh, it was stupid of me to even think that I could be an author. Stop giving up so early. You know, try for 5 years, 10 years. If you have to work a normal job and then support your dreams at night or on the weekends, that's fine. You know, with modern medicine, we're going to live over 100 years. You know, singularity is coming if we eat right.
Yes.
I had my smoked salmon and berries this morning and my green tea right here.
I like it. Yes. You got to stay committed to it now. I got to build the momentum.
so you can call me out on this. I told you to call me out on this. Yes. Tell everybody your story.
Every like 6 months I hang out with Tim and he's either like the best shape I've ever seen anyone, or he's like Oompa Loompa. Like walking around eating like anything he wants to, and he's like,
"Oompa Loompa's fat." I think they're just tiny.
Yeah, tiny and round. Fat. Oh, maybe they're not. Round? Maybe I'm thinking of the girl who turns into like the big
Veruca.
Exactly. So, you know, Tim's like he's very extreme. I think, or you have been in the past. So maybe you'll be your own teacher. You'll learn from your history. And you'll apply the lessons and move forward in a consistent manner.
And that's why I wanted you to call me out on this, because I have gone back and forth. I'm like a stock, you know, there's a bull market and a bear market for my weight right now. I'm pretty
trending
good.
Trending up.
I'm pretty good. Well, I'm trending down, but you want to trend down and weight.
Gotcha.
It's opposite the stock market, but you do need
your
to stay
committed. Trending up.
My health is trending up. I in the past I've had huge issues with work-life balance.
Yes.
Travel balance, you know, trying to work from Asia while traveling. It's not an exact science, but what I found with anybody successful, like most people don't realize what it takes to truly be successful. They're like, oh, I want to be rich. I want to be successful. And they think that, you know, you don't have to put in like extraordinary amounts of time to actually make it. Like so few people make it, not because they're so talented or genetically gifted. Obviously you have a few of those people, but a lot of it is just such hard work and perseverance. I mean, thousands of hours of study. I get messages from people that are like, how can I be a millionaire in the stock market with as little time and as little money down right now? And I'm like,
roll the dice and get lucky.
Well, right? But you're asking the wrong questions. Yeah. Like you should be asking like, you know, how much time is required for me to study? And it's different for everybody. You know, people pick up different concepts.
And people don't want to put in that time. It's too much energy or work. I just did a webinar talking about a program that I'm doing, a 10-week class that I do to help people really optimize their life, their goals, their dreams, their financial habits, everything. A couple of questions were like, well, how much time a week is this going to take to go through this training? I go, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. If you give me 10 minutes, you're going to get that much of a result.
Yeah.
If you give me more hours and you take action, you're going to get better results.
Well, you know, 80% of people who have a gym membership don't even go to the gym.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, so you have a gym membership. That doesn't mean you're going to be healthy. You actually have to use the machines. You actually have to sweat it out. And so I actually find this. I have 6,000 students now, over 80 countries. That's fantastic. Mm. But my average video lesson only gets about 500 views. Okay. Unless I really push people, unless I post like a thumbnail with my Lamborghini, these pictures of my cars and I take pictures of cash, it actually gets people studying harder, which is their only shot. But it's crazy how few people actually put in the time. And you need to have a big goal. This is why I always talk about my millionaire students. Some people say, oh, it's bad to talk about that. So few of them are actually millionaires. But if you have a big goal, studies have been proven that they increase your daily performance 15 to 25%. So if you're looking, you know, if you're at the gym and you see like posters of people, they don't show posters of like fat people.
Right.
They're posters of people with perfect
or average
bodies.
Average shape.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. They're perfect. Like most of them are genetically freaks, you know, gifted freaks that are on the walls here and they're professional models. And you're looking at that and you're on the treadmill and you're looking and you're like trying to like be that person. So for me, as a stock market teacher, I post pictures literally of like $1 million in cash. Business Insider followed me around. I took out $1.2 million. I don't post counterfeit cash. I just went to the bank one day, took it out, took photos and videos. I don't carry cash around with me, FYI. So don't
don't stalk you.
Don't
you're
bother.
Not Mayweather.
Yeah. I just took it out of the bank and I post it because if you're looking at that, it increases my video views. I did the exact same video with a 45-minute technical take on this stock. And I was like, here are the pros, here are the cons. And it got so few likes. And I had the thumbnail as like the stock chart because that's what I'm analyzing. Then I did the exact same video and I reposted it with a thumbnail of my Lamborghini. And it got four times the amounts of views and they watched it three times longer because now you see the reward for actually watching it. Oh, if I learn this stuff, I might be able to get a Lamborghini too. Mm. So it's whatever motivates you. And it doesn't matter if it's charity or Lamborghinis or cash or success or, you know, buying something for your family. You need to find what motivates yourself to work harder than you ever thought possible to find success. Mm. It's not laziness, like not even like average effort is going to get you to true success. And most people, they come up to me, they say, oh, I want to be rich. That's nice. It's, you know, it's like this fun concept. Like, oh, I want to be a millionaire. But they don't really believe it. They think it's like only going to happen to somebody. Yeah. It can happen to anybody. None of my millionaire students or I, we're not that smart. Okay. I'm not that smart. I can admit my own defects. I'm not that good at math.
But you've researched, you've studied, you've trained.
I have a work ethic like no other. Okay. Gary Vaynerchuk has a work ethic. I have a work ethic. Gary and I, if we stacked up work ethics, I would win. That's how insane it is, okay? I swear to God, you ask anybody in my family, they're scared of me of how hard I work.
You're committed, I know.
It's insane. But when you have that drive, like, I can't even stop if I wanted to. I have like this blood flowing. Like when someone says, you know, some people say you can't short sell penny stocks. Like you can't bet against them. Uh-huh. There's a common lie out there because in order to short sell penny stocks, you need to find a broker that has shares to short. If you're with a crappy broker and they just don't want to admit that they're a crappy broker, they're just going to say, oh, you can't do that. It's illegal. So I get an email pretty much every day from somebody who says, what you're doing is illegal. This is a scam. And my blood boils. And I just start writing and I show them video lesson after video lesson, like, how am I doing this trade? I do live trading videos too. So I show the trade and I'm like, this is not illegal. You just have a shitty broker. Oh, crappy broker.
It's okay.
Am I allowed to? Okay. I know this is a family program. I'm sorry. Lo siento.
Now, something I want to address is you. I love how you really don't care what people think about you. And now this is like maybe on some level, but pretty much 99% of the time, you don't care. You want to make sure that people know that you're doing everything, you know, legally and according to like law and everything else, I guess. But the way you post things online is very
aggressive.
And, you know, it's like you said, it rubs, like,
said, people the
it rubs
way.
Like almost
a lot of people,
like 9 out of 10
way.
People yes. are like,
but I don't care about outsiders. What I care about are my students. So again, it comes back to what makes you happy. What can you do to make yourself happy? For me, giving back.
Right.
I love that. But also creating millionaires from scratch. So I don't care what 9 out of 10 outsiders think. I care about what 1 out of 10, and those 1 out of 10 people are my students. And what can I do to get my students studying harder? So
yes.
It's weird. Yeah, you're going to pull up my Instagram.
So just
right?
So I can see, I mean, I look at the top posts. I see you do a lot of these, which I like. It's just kind of like your
that's
laptop.
That's a Viceroy Bali. Yeah.
Yeah, like the laptop.
Look at those pancakes.
On a lunch or a breakfast table with like a nice
those
view.
Those are the best pancakes in the world. I don't want to tempt you. I know you're on a diet. But
a lot of nice views. Here's like Bali or something in the Maldives. Then yeah. You got the
Ferraris.
Yeah. You got the here's a stack of, I don't know, a couple million dollars.
$1.2 million
yeah. Just in stacks.
And that was a picture at the bank. Apparently, you're not supposed to take pictures. I got yelled at a second later.
Wow.
Because there's these laws and it's taboo to talk about this stuff. And it shouldn't be. Like, it's no different than like talking about your body. Like, people are scared of like nipples.
Why are people scared to talk about money?
Because again, you know, you have like the Wolf of Wall Street. You have so many internet scammers and they've like abused people for so long. Like, there's so many people who are abused. Like, how can I be sure that you're not a scam? And I'm like, if you have any doubts, don't learn. I have over 800 free videos now on my YouTube channel. So if you don't see that and you still don't want to learn, I'm not begging you. The cool thing about being real and basically an industry full of scams is I get to choose my students. So if people have doubts, it's fine. Just don't talk to me, you know? But I do my best to give people as much as I can of education. And these kinds of photos inspire people. And sometimes it pisses people off. But as long as you can, I think.
And how does it make you feel when people are like, say all these negative comments under a post?
Well, so my first millionaire student actually was my first hater. He wrote a blog post called "The Timothy Sykes is Full of BS." You can Google it; it's still there. He's updated. He said, "I went from Tim's biggest hater to Tim's biggest fan." He's now made $1.6 million. His name is Michael Good. He's the moderator of my chat room, and he made all these comments when I first came out saying I'm going to create a millionaire, and he was like, "Just another internet sales guy." But he tried all my stuff. He watched my DVDs. He implemented a lot of it in his trading, and now he does very well. So if I can turn my biggest hater into a millionaire, I can do that with anybody. So as long as I make some kind of, you know, memory, some imprint on people, there's still a chance. And a lot of people don't necessarily like me at first, or they, you know, don't want to study at first. And I'm saying, okay, that's fine, because I don't need non-dedicated students. Again, if you want to truly be successful, you have to be so dedicated. If you have the wrong mindset from the beginning, it's impossible. You're just wasting your time. You're wasting my time. So I'd rather just cut it off. But a lot of these people who don't study at first, then eventually they get interested, and then maybe they see a stock that I called right, or they see one of my free videos, and they come back 6 months, 9 months later, and they become my students. So it's not about getting, and this goes for your, you know, you as an internet business, yes, and you as a podcaster, it's not about getting the customer right away. It's just showing who you are. And if you can get them to hate you at first, that's fine. As long as they're willing to look at you later on, or they'll hear about you later on. I'm just going to keep doing my thing. The stock market doesn't change. There's always going to be more plays.
Right. There's a good quote. You know Grant Cardone is, right?
I do.
There's a great quote that he wrote, I think. It says, like, one day they love me, the next day they hate me, both days I get paid. Which I really find is, like, just funny to me, because it doesn't matter who likes you or doesn't like you. If you stay committed to your vision and you offer value and you're giving good service, you're gonna build your business.
Well, some of my top students hate me, and I'm fine with that. Because
why
do
they hate you?
Because I'm aggressive. I'm pushy. I'm like, you must follow the rules. You must work so hard. And they're like, all right, I get it. I'm like this annoying parent who's like telling the kids to eat broccoli and Brussels sprouts. I'm not here to make friends. I already have enough friends, and I don't even have time for them. I actually need to do better with that in 2017. I apologize to a lot of my friends, but I'm here kind of like a drill sergeant. Like, I'm the toughest coach that my people will ever have, because I'm interested in their success. So if I'm all like nice and I'm like, oh, it's okay, and I'm like coddling them, that doesn't make them into a millionaire. That doesn't make them into a good trader. It might make me more popular. It might get me more business, but it doesn't help me with my goals. And frankly, I think it goes counter to my goals, because now I'm creating a whole generation of students who, you know, just think like the stock market is all nice and warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
It's not. The stock market is a battlefield, and I need to arm my soldiers with the right tools. You can't come on a battlefield with a knife and everyone else has machine guns. You're going to get killed. Okay. Yeah. So if I present the stock market in the wrong way, and this, you know, stock trading in the wrong way, I mean, 90% of traders lose money. 70% of investors fail to beat the S&P 500 every year. If you look at the stats, they're terrible. E-Trade has a little dancing baby that makes it so easy. You know, if that dancing baby actually stock traded, he would get slaughtered. Okay. It would be a bloody baby. It would be a mess. And that would not make TV commercials if they wanted to be real about what the market is. So you have these marketing companies that basically paint everything so rosy. I mean, Jim Cramer, I'll mention the ugly bald guy on CNBC, his ratings are at all-time lows because he's wrong 70% of the time. Barron's has done an expose on him. There's a lot of exposés looking at his winning percentage. So you can have the hype, but that's not going to get you rich. So I have to cut through that. That's the sad reality. That's why I don't mind pissing people off. All I care about are stats and the success of my students. And as long as I stick to that vision in the future, I'll have more millionaire students. When I first said I'm going to create a millionaire, no one believed me. And then I had one and two within a few weeks, and now I have a few. And I can't mention a few of them. Some of my millionaire students hate me because I'm like sharing their story. Some of them want privacy. I have to do better with that. You know, if you make a lot of money, you deserve the privacy, even though I don't agree with it.
Right, right.
Because I'm full transparency. I want to get it all out there. I'm glad that some of my millionaire students get it and some of my upcoming six-figure students get it. But I understand when you talk about money, you know, it's weird. But I just have to try and share all these stories. And I share stories of like students who lose too. But it's very tough to lose everything. You know, a lot of people are scared of the stock market. You're like, oh, I could lose everything. How do you lose everything if you focused on rule number one about cutting losses quickly every time? I have a whole DVD where I do like a Mickey Mouse voice. And I'm like, Mickey Mouse or castrated choir boy. That's what I say.
Okay.
I'm like, I train like a castrated choir boy. And if you think like that, you know, I have some weird analogies.
Sure, sure. Okay.
But if you think like that, it's very tough to lose everything. Mm-hmm. It's not like Vegas where you're
rolling the dice, it's gone.
All on red or black, double or nothing. You can lose 2% on a trade. And, you know, if you put in $10,000, you know, you lose $200. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
If you put in $5,000, but too many people with a few thousand dollars to their name think that they have to invest in good companies and diversify. If you make 10%, 20% per year on a $5,000 account, you're making what? 500 over the year? 1,000 over the year? I mean, that's like one fun night out. Okay?
Right.
If you want to live. Right. So you have to think in terms of like, what is going to change your life? Six figures, seven figures. Going back to what can make you happy? What can get you the freedom so that you can explore what you want? Mm. And it's tough to think about all this stuff. Again, there's mostly scam artists who have never made millions of dollars themselves. I actually made millions before I got started teaching.
Right.
You have a lot of teachers who've never done anything with their lives. So if you've never done anything with your life, how are you qualified to teach? There's a lot of people in the stock market that are newbies. They've been trading stocks or investing for like a year, 2 years, 3 years. They've only seen this bull market. What happens when a bear market comes? They're not prepared. Their students aren't prepared. So it comes down to education, experience, and dedication.
What
I'm pumped up, man.
In terms of now, you've been trading stocks, penny stocks for a long time. How many years?
18 years.
18 years, and you're also now
18 years.
18. That's a long time, man.
I know.
It could be your child right now.
I know.
18 years you've been trading, and then you started teaching and educating because you saw the opportunity. People saw your results and said, "Hey, show me what you're doing." So you started teaching and saw a big opportunity there. Now in that business, you're promoting all over the place. I see you, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere, blogs, everything.
Yeah.
What is bringing the best leads right now? What's bringing the most qualified customers for your business? Yeah. And for entrepreneurs listening, where should they be spending their time?
So this is going to surprise a lot of people. A lot of people have said, you know, the death of Twitter. Twitter is the best right now because Snapchat is growing. Instagram is growing. But I think what you find if you're teaching and you know, you're selling some educational product, like people who need education, not some little gifts or some little, you know, I don't even know what they sell. There's so much junk out there on the internet. It's like the Wild West. If you're selling something useful to actually people who want to better their lives intelligently, okay? Like you want to expand your mind. Twitter, as slow as it is, whatever, it really works so well with the educated crowd, okay? I'm not talking about like buying a little sticker or like some little
T-shirt or something.
Or some little filter, you know. I understand there's a big business with that, with like 13-year-olds and stuff like that. That's not my audience. And I don't think that's most people's audience. Yes. So Twitter for us is booming. I mean, you can follow me, Timothy Sykes, on Twitter. And I'm posting, I think it's also because I've encouraged my people to share their trades openly and screenshots so we can see what other students are doing. So it's not just learning from me, but other students. And that way we have this whole community now.
People sharing and showing what they're
doing. But every single day I'm posting like 30, 40, 50 students who are making $500, $1,000 a day. And it's nothing huge in terms of Wall Street. You know, Wall Street looks down on like $500 a day. But the average person, you ask them, would you like to make an extra $500 or $1,000? Would you like that knowledge? Huge, especially over time, because it adds up a day. And it adds up over time. Sometimes you lose. Sometimes you lose 100 or 200, but sometimes you make. You know, in the past 2 days, I'm up 12,000 now. Yesterday, when I saw you, you know, we went to the comedy show. I had made 10,000 yesterday. Today, I made about 2,600.
Wow.
So I'm trading with different amounts. I trade with a small amount just in order to teach. Mm-hmm. But
how much do you trade with normally?
So this year I started with $5,000, to begin the year. Last year I started with 12,000. I grew it to like 100,000. So what I teach is, you know, you can basically make six figures per year. I've never had a seven figure profit in 1 year in trading stocks. My best year I made about 850,000. But I'm still a millionaire because, you know, you make 850, you make 350, you make 500, and it adds up. And that's the freedom. So again, there's people on Wall Street. I mean, they're making, the best traders out there make 50, 100, 200 million, 2 billion. But their strategies require a huge amount of capital.
A lot of money, yeah.
You have to be in New York. You have to have the connections. You have to be a genius.
Right, right.
And it's not applicable. My strategy is applicable to average people. So when you said like, oh, you got into the business of teaching, you saw an opportunity. My strategy is better for small accounts. I didn't choose this. I never wanted to be a penny stock trader, but it's ideal for people with like 5,000, 10,000, 20,000.
Got it.
Never a billion. I have no billionaire students. I never will have a billionaire student, and that's fine.
Yeah. Now I'm curious about, I want to wrap things up here in a moment, but I want to go back to the thing that you kind of went over quickly about your announcement with Pencil Promise.
Yeah.
Now you made $1 million donation to Pencil Promise, which is an organization that I'm a supporter of. I'm on the advisory board. I've built schools with. And I brought you in, I think, a year and a half ago or something.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
A couple of years ago. Yeah. And I said, you got to put, if you're putting money in charities, you got to put it into this something.
Yeah.
Now, why Pencil Promise? Why $1 million donation?
So let me explain again. As I mentioned briefly, you know, the charity world has a lot of different charities, no different than the stock market. Some are good, some are bad. You have to do your research. And I've done little tests, you know, just like I do in the stock market. I do a test trade. I do a little trade with the charity world. I've done little donations. I've donated, you know, Cambodian Village Fund. My school's opening up. I just donated $50,000 to build on. We're building a school in Nepal. Wow. I don't know if you've been there. That place is amazing. I went hiking in Nepal.
Wow.
And it's beautiful. So I'm going back there when the school opens, probably in like 6 months. I build schools in Bali now with the Bali Children's Project. Mm-hmm. I have a few schools there. Just surprise them with a $75,000 donation. So $50,000, $75,000, you know, $25,000 here or there. Make a Wish, Boys and Girls Club, $25,000.
Donated everywhere.
$50,000. A lot of what I'm into, you know, we've donated to some medical charities for breast cancer victims. But I really focus on education. You know, this is my life. So I gravitated towards it. So yeah, you introduced me to Pencils of Promise. You know, my first donation was $120,000, and that opened,
donation.
It's cool. And it opened up some good schools. But then, you know, when we went to Laos, and I actually still have to post this video, like I surprised them in Laos with this donation. I made a live announcement. Wow. They didn't even understand. They were trying to translate. The translator was like, $1,000? I was like, no, $1 million.
They're like,
they didn't understand. It's actually a funny video. I got to post it.
They would get it when they were like, oh, $1 million.
I mean, I don't speak their language, but when she said 1,000 at first, and you know,
we're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. So there was like a little clap, like $1,000. Okay. I mean, they're grateful for anything.
Of course.
But then $1 million, I don't think they can even comprehend. I mean, this is 20 plus schools.
20 schools.
And, you know, Pencils of Promise also has these other programs. It's not just about building schools.
Yeah, the educational programs inside.
Correct.
Yeah.
So e-readers, teaching teachers to be better teachers, you know, to make them more efficient, operating the schools. Pencils of Promise has now built nearly 400 schools worldwide, but all the schools are still operating. And I actually asked them, and this is one of the reasons why I went so big. All these other charities that I donate to, they're grateful, and they're great charities. Okay. I have yet to donate to like a bad charity. They're all doing good and they're all amazing. But Pencils of Promise has something that the others don't, which is scalability. Because again, they're so organized. Everything is based on numbers. You know, they use Salesforce. I mean, it's very organized. And so when they build 400 schools, that's a test for building, you know, 4,000 schools. Mm-hmm. And if the numbers in the programs line up, they can build 40,000 schools. These other charities, it's good to build these schools. It's cool. But frankly, they're just not equipped to be that scalable. And it reminds me very similarly of my teaching, where I teach people to make $500, $1,000, and then eventually it adds up to six or seven figures. It's scalable up to a limit. With Pencils of Promise, there's no limit. And they've built this amazing infrastructure that I think a lot of people don't realize. It takes a while to build the infrastructure before you can scale anything. So the hardest part is building the infrastructure, the foundation. And then once you scale and scale and scale, but this is the single largest donation in Pencils of Promise history. So I'm pumped about that.
Congrats.
But it hopefully will usher in this new era where other people start to realize, wait a minute, this is a scalable thing. Like they wouldn't even let me have internet at my schools. I was like, give me internet at my schools. And they're like, well, let's just make sure I was talking with Susie and Michael and I was like, I'm an internet guy. Give me internet in the schools. And they're like, well, we're testing that in a small group, in Guatemala, and we'll see how the test goes. And I was like, I was kind of taken aback at first. I was kind of pissed because I was like, I'm the donor. I should get this. But then once I started realizing, wait a minute, they do everything based on big data. So they're learning from the existing 388 schools, I think, right now is the count. And then they take that and they optimize. And that is the secret of success. With technology, with the internet, we've just gotten started looking at big data and how we can optimize that. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be fascinating. I mean, we're still like, picture like the US in the Wild West in like the 1880s, 1850s, like the gold rush kind of thing. That's what I think the internet is right now. Where that's why I think people are so happy with their little, you know, emoticons. That's what I was looking for. And they think, oh, this is amazing. This is the internet. That's not the internet. Okay. That's like selling fool's gold in 1870 in Alaska. The future of the internet is based on big data, using that data to optimize businesses, education, charities, everything that actually truly matters. And if we can use it right and stay focused instead of the negativity, the political negativity, the, you know, using social media just when you're bored at your job, you know, it's an easy thing. Like you pull it up, people are bored in the lines. I'm not saying that it's bad to be entertained, but you have to look at the full promise. Mm. And Pencils of Promise actually gets it. And I think more people will get it as we start to see more applications used with big data. Mm.
So what's your call to action for people with giving or Pencils of Promise or charities in general?
I mean, obviously they need money, you know, charities need money. Okay. It's all well to do. I get people messaging me like, yeah, I love this. This is awesome. How can I help? Give money.
Give money.
They need funding. You know, they've optimized their infrastructure. They're ready for more, but they need funding. So if you have the money, to you Wall Street douchebags out there, I know you have the money. I know you're spending it on stupid things like Provocateur and One Oak. And, you know, no offense to those great establishments, but there's so much more in life than, you know, I've done that. I've bought bottles. I've wasted so much money on such stupid things in my life. So if you have that money, so much extra money could be used to really build these kinds of things.
Yeah.
If you don't have money, that's cool. What you can do is actually study and find your passion and make a lot of money. Money yeah. does make the world go round. It's nice to volunteer, but if you truly want to make an impact, you got to really think big.
Yeah.
And you need to think big about your own life. It's not just charities too. Money, unfortunately, I don't make the rules. I'm sorry to be like the bad guy. I'm just the messenger here, right? But you need money for the freedom. Otherwise, you have to pay your bills. Like, I've never seen, I know a few stock traders that don't trade with big accounts, but they're like, oh, I've made 188% on my small account. I was like, can you pay your rent with that percent? I didn't know. What's the rent on a building that accepts percentages? I'm sorry. That's not how it works. Right. You know, hypothetical performance. Like, well, I'm paper trading and I'm just testing. Okay, paper trading is good. Testing is good. But you need to eventually make money. That's what matters in this world. So it all comes back to it, no matter how you slice it. And that's why I'm in the business of teaching people to make money. And that's my life's work.
I love it, man. Final few questions. Actually, I want people to declare how much they want to give this year on Twitter with us.
Okay.
So you got to tag at Timothy Sykes, at Lewis Howes, and say how much you want to give, whether it's a Pencil Promise or some local charity or whatever charity you want to give to. But leave us a comment on Twitter.
I want to say tag two numbers.
Okay.
What you can give in 2017.
Yes.
And then also, if you study, if you build your knowledge account, your skill set, and you really focus on growing, even if you're in school, even if you have a job, what can you give 10 years from now? What do you think you can give? So you need to think about your future self. This is what I tell all my students. Like, sometimes you're trading with a small account and it's like, oh, I made $20. I lost $20. This is so stupid.
Right.
But you're preparing for your future self. So if you keep studying and keep practicing stock trading or whatever your passion is, think about what you can do with this if you keep going for the next 10 years. So I want two comments from you guys. What can you give in 2017? And if you really fulfill yourself and your destiny and whatever you're put on this earth for, to find your passion and ideally, you know, really take it to the next level, make some money with it. What can you do in 10 years?
Mm.
And start thinking about that goal. If charity really inspires you, say, I want to be able to give $1 million in 10 years. Work backwards. What can you do over the next 10 years to get to that point where you can give away $1 million? I know some people say, I just want to have $1 million in 10 years. To give away $1 million, you need to have more than that.
Exactly.
So it'll be interesting to see the comments.
Yeah. Yeah. So two numbers, at Lewis Howes, at Timothy Sykes. The number this year and the number in 10 years. I like that.
Your goal. And that
your
way,
goal to give. Yeah.
Every single day from this year for the next 10 years, how many days is that? 365
times
10. 3,600 days, right?
There you
roughly.
Go. There you go.
You get 5 days off per year, just because I don't want to do math. But 3,600 days, what can you do over the next 3,600 days to get to that goal?
Mm,
and if you think like that, no matter what your passion is, no matter what your industry is, you start pushing yourself in the right direction. I know some people like say, like write notes, like before you go to bed, like repeat it in the mirror. I've heard all kinds of different stuff, but just get in the mindset of thinking, what can you do in 10 years? And you'll be amazed. Forget about just 1 year or 2 years. You can accomplish a lot, but 10 years, I mean, you can turn your whole life around. I don't care if you're dead broke right now.
Yeah.
If you follow your dreams in 10 years, it'll be amazing.
It's funny because literally 10 years ago this year, I was talking about this on a webinar this morning. My dream of being a professional athlete ended by getting injured. And I was telling the story about how I was broke for a year and a half, had credit card debt, had student loans, had no money coming in for a year and a half, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was just reflecting, like, wow, even though 10 years is a long time, it also felt like a few years ago. And look what I created in 10 years from having no information, no skills, no tools, no resources, no relationships. But 10 years out, I created a lot more than what I had. And we can all create more if we continue to be focused and committed over a decade. A decade is a long time to
create
something.
You can do so much in 10 years, but most people don't think like that. They think, what can I do in the next 6 months? What can I do a year max? I can't even picture 2 years.
Yeah.
If you have like a 10-year goal, I mean, life is long. okay? Like, you can do so much. Forget about 10 years. What can you do in 20 years? I'm not going to stretch everyone's imagination there, but what can you do in 10 years that will be so scalable now? And then it just builds and it builds and it builds. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. I'm actually writing my book right now for Blog Millionaire.
Nice.
Literally, I was just writing a chapter the other night. It's been 10 years to the month since my reality show Wall Street Warriors debuted.
Really?
Which is what got me into teaching, because I was running a hedge fund. I was managing money for these rich snobs. And it sucked. You know, I can't do cocaine, so I wasn't invited to any of the parties in New York. And it sucked. And I'm managing money for these... I don't like rich people, in case you couldn't tell. Okay. I don't get along. I get along with like average people much better. I make too many weird jokes or whatever. But I was managing money, and then this TV show that everyone told me not to do started airing on Mojo, which was like one of the first high def TV networks. They went out of business. But because this was a little TV show and a little network, and it was HD, so all these nerds had like early HD TVs in like 2006, 2007, 2008. It became the top selling TV show on the early iTunes of 2008, from what I heard. And this stupid little TV show that I did, and I was drunk in every episode, I was an idiot because I was so depressed with my life, started becoming a hit, and I would get 10, 20, 50, 100 emails. How can I learn stock market? How can I learn to trade stocks? That's what got me into teaching, because I recognized that there was a demand for this.
Yep.
And it's been 10 years. So I've created my entire teaching business in 10 years, and my life has changed. I'm very happy. You know, I've had amazing success in teaching. I've had amazing family success and relationship success and travel success.
Yeah, you take your family with you all the trips to see them.
But 10 years, if you have that goal, your life will change. But many people can't think that long. So I want to change that.
I like it, man. Final few questions for you.
Sure.
I don't know if we asked this the last time. You were on 2.5 years ago, I saw, actually.
Was it really two and a half years ago
in April? Is that what it was? Yeah. May?
Time flies.
2.5 years, man.
Wow.
This is called The Three Truths.
Okay.
I don't think you answered this last time. Three Truths. If today was the last day, many, many years from now for you, because you're going to live over 100, so 70
over
200. Plus. 200. Yeah.
That's
singularity.
My goal.
Yeah. If this was the last day and you've achieved everything you want, all your wildest dreams have happened, you've given away more money than you can think of. But for whatever reason, all the videos you put out there on the internet, your books, programs, erased from time.
Yeah.
All your information is gone of what you said.
Yeah.
And you had a piece of paper and a pen to write down three things you know to be true from your entire life.
Oof.
That would be all people know to remember you by.
Yeah.
What would be those three truths or lessons?
This is deep. There was no backup on the internet. Skynet wiped it all out.
It's all gone. Hypothetical.
And Skynet. Skynet is coming, okay? I'm very worried about that. I'm helping build it with Stocks to Trade. This is my automated software that builds everything, but I'm scared of that. That's with your hypothetical, but I think that's potentially in the future. Three things.
Yes.
Be honest with yourself about what you love and who you are. And, you know, if you don't know, then do what you can to really find out what makes you happy. Because I think too many people are living for others, and they're living based on expectations of others and the rules of others, and they're just ignoring themselves. And part of the reason why I sleep like a baby and I'm so happy and fulfilled in life is because I stopped caring about other people and focused on what made me happy. And frankly, what makes me happy is pretty good. That's number one. Number two, wait, everything is wiped out. The internet is gone.
Your information.
I'm just worried
that you
about
put
this.
Out there. No, the internet's still here.
The internet's here.
Yes.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, your stuff's been erased.
God, Skynet. I would say that, you know, obviously, you know, be kind. Love is the answer. I mean, I could come up with all these like cliche stuff, but be so brutally, brutally honest with everybody, and it'll change all your relationships. Even if some of the truths that you talk about are tough, like it's not necessarily like being kind to everybody. Sometimes you have to be cruel to be kind. And that's not something to be taken lightly. I'm not just saying be cruel to be cruel, but you have to try to picture everything. I mean, I kind of picture everything like a stock trade. It's part of the consequences of my job, but it's like risk reward, like upside, downside. I try to encapsulate everything. And in that truth, in that reality, life is not always, you know, rainbows and leprechauns and Oompa Loompas. Life can be harsh, and the sooner you realize that and the more upfront you can be about that, you won't have to live in the BS anymore. Because a lot of people live in the BS. And there's so many fake people, especially in LA, New York, and Miami, this triangle of fakeness. Just this triangle of death between these three cities that we all seem to go bounce between. And the third one, there's no such thing as perfection at all. And you have to realize that. And, you know, you try your best to be as good as you can, whether you're a stock trader or you're a podcaster, or, you know, in your relationships or with your parents or with your friendships or with your career. Perfection is impossible. So stop trying to be perfect. Stop coming down on yourself so hard when you're imperfect, when you make a mistake. I see so many people get down on themselves like it's the end of the world. You made a mistake. You're human. Or maybe in this future, you're not human. Maybe you're part cyborg. But until we're full cyborg, okay, while we're mostly human, even if we have certain cybernetic parts, we will make mistakes. And it's okay. It's not the end of the world, no matter what it is. And you have to learn from that. And I think that's the future of our world. We're going to make mistakes, and some of them are going to be bigger and have more consequences than others. But if you accept it and you learn from it, no different than what I say, like if you have a loss in the stock market, right, everything I do relates back to the stock market. I see it too much. You'll be in a better position to accept reality and then get better in the future. For me, it's all about accepting the truths of the universe and life and money and education and fulfillment. It's all related. I was a philosophy major. Okay. I wasn't even a business major. All my friends were doing business. I was doing philosophy. So I think a lot about this stuff, and it's all interconnected. So be real, be honest, be open-minded, and don't be so hard on yourselves, because we're all amazing. Like, I don't care who out there is watching this. If they're in America, if they're in Europe, if they're in Asia, if they're a man or a woman, I know you have a book about masculinity. I would write a book about humanity. I don't know about masculinity. I mean, look at these little arms, right? I don't have that much hair on my chest. I never did. I don't know why. But if you can learn to be the best human and you can optimize your existence and optimize your time, and just do the best that you can do, but always be improving. Like that 10-year example that we came up with, it's so good. It's going to change so many people's lives just thinking about, whoa, 3,600 days, like, you know, marking down one day at a time. What can I do to get closer to the goal? And people don't think like that. So think outside the box. I think that might have been more than three things, but this is what I'm thinking. You know, it's like just, it's a whole ball of wax, and we're all imperfect, but we can do better with effort and the right perspective.
I like it, man. I like it. I have a final question, but I want to make sure that people go check out timothysykes.com. Check out stocks2trade.com, right? Yeah. The new software that you have. That
so this is the software that we're building that's going to erase everything and kill off humanity eventually. This is the baby software. No, it's, I work so hard, and I recognize that I'm not always going to be able to work every day. The stock market is open every day. So my team and I have been working for 2 years to build this software that basically automates my strategy and gives all these signals on the best stocks to trade. And eventually it'll be like, don't make that trade. You are an idiot. Like, we'll have like audio.
It's so simple to make trades. Serious. If you want to do it on your own, I like that.
Yeah. So but it just trade, automates it.
All made automated. Stocks2trade.com.
So if I get erased completely somehow,
go there.
Like Looper, and you know, my future self kills my younger self. I just ruined that movie for everybody. I'm sorry. Did you see that movie?
I didn't see it.
Well, now you know the ending.
Okay.
But he was not a good guy, and he killed his younger self, so he never existed, so there's no bad stuff. It was actually a kind of crazy, a beautiful time travel movie. So if my future self somehow kills my current self, maybe I do turn into a bad guy. Maybe all this money and power corrupts me. Somehow, Stocks to Trade hopefully will still exist, although it depends when I kill my younger self. If I kill my younger self in the future, Stocks to Trade will exist. If we travel back to like 1981, like Terminator, I'm done. Stocks to Trade will never exist. But right now it exists. And it automates stock trading signals. And it's not just my strategy. It's also, we've modeled 20 other millionaire traders. We're trying to model everything and automate it. It's kind of like a Bloomberg for average people.
I like it.
Sorry, what was your question? I interrupted you.
No, I like it. Where else should we connect with you online?
I'm just Timothy Sykes everywhere on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube.
And your favorite channel? Twitter?
I mean, Twitter is good because Do you know there's cash tags? Have you heard of that? So there's there's hashtags, which are really popular. But in the stock market, if you use the stock ticker and you put a dollar sign in front of it, it organizes so you can see every discussion on Twitter about that one ticker. Wow. Amazing. So cash tags are huge for Twitter. But I would refer everybody to my YouTube channel because, again, I have 800 plus videos, live trades, webinars. I just posted how my top student made $920,000 last year, not yesterday, but $920,000. And he gave a 2-hour webinar yesterday.
Wow.
Live trading webinar. He made $8,000 yesterday. So that's all free. And you could just start to see, you know, what I'm actually talking about. I'm not just hype. Mm-hmm. I'm not just these $1 million stacks. There's actually knowledge behind these stacks.
Mm, I like it.
And I encourage everybody. All these internet people watching this, you have a lot of internet people. If you want true success, not just money, but true success, like having happy customers, being fulfilled, you will work your ass off and you will consider this all rather than just being a shady, shady affiliate or MLM person where it's like, look at this energy drink or, you know, take this vitamin. I see so much BS and we need to stop burning customers because it hurts everybody. Mm. Everybody in the internet thinks that it's only about them. We're like polluting the internet with all this crap.
Right.
And you need to cut through that. And if you provide quality, we can turn back the tide. Just like, you know, environmental stuff. I'm not going to get in there. But people think that it's okay if they pollute the internet with their crap. It's not. And we're going to need to like start like recycling on the internet. We're going to need to start changing it. Otherwise, people aren't going to trust the internet. But again, this is the Wild West. They can't help it. I get it. People are, you know, desperate and selfish right now. But the future of the internet is going to be all about quality, commitment, dedication, and patience. Mm-hmm. And your podcast, let's just, before we finish this, what's your podcast going to be in 10 years? We've talked about like money giving in 10 years. I'm going to donate $50 million in 10 years. I'll just throw that out there just because I know I will. What do you see yourself in this podcast becoming in 10 years? And it probably won't even be a podcast. It'll be called a cryocast or something.
Well, I mean,
cryptocast.
Ultimately, I like to be the biggest daytime talk show in the world.
Talk show on what? What technology?
Teaching, inspiration, bringing to light the most brilliant minds in the world, talking about how to optimize your health, your relationships, your spirituality, your wealth, and...
So you want to be Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, and Oprah in one.
Yeah. Exactly.
Younger, exactly. Jacked, exactly. Mario Lopez, Ryan Seacrest, all in one.
Right, exactly, yeah. I mean, I want to be the hub of inspiration, information, and education on how to optimize your life.
In 10 years.
I mean, sooner than that, but yeah.
That's a good goal.
Yeah.
How much will you donate in 10 years? You got to put a number
how
on it, too.
How much do you want me to donate?
This is your dream,
you
man.
Know, for me,
I'm at 50 million.
I would say a minimum of 15 million in 10 years that I'll personally donate.
Mind you, there's inflation too. So 15 million in 10 years.
But hear me out here. Okay. I think my true power doesn't come from how much I donate, but how much I influence other people to donate. For instance, I've only given a few hundred thousand to Pencil Promise, but I brought in over 2.5 million from my relationships.
Yeah.
You know, you being one of the person that brought in the million. So I think by having the show and the largest, the one that's the most trusted, you know, when I bring people to an idea, a person, a product, a charity, I'll be able to create that, the show will be able to create that influence in taking action. So that's where I see really the show bringing in hundreds of millions of dollars of donations.
That's perfect. No, yes. And we have to use our talents. You know, you are a great connector. You're a great people person. When I'm telling these Wall Street douchebags that they're douchebags, they're probably not going to want to donate. I can probably learn from you, but you got some of you Wall Street guys, they're such douchebags. I don't know how to be nicer. I mean, nice as I can be. That's like pushing
not
it.
Not all, some of them you're saying. Yes.
A lot of them.
Right, right.
A lot of them. Right, I mean, I talk to more people on Wall Street than anybody, and it's time somebody calls them out. So I'm not going to be the connector. I'm not going to be the one to influence. Mm-hmm. Although I think, you know, maybe I can guilt some of them.
Exactly. Well, let's not digress anymore. Let's get back to the final question.
Yes.
But everyone can connect with you online. Stocks to Trade, Timothy Sykes everywhere. Tweet us at Lewis House, at Timothy Sykes, the number for this year and 10 years. And I want to acknowledge you for a moment, man, because I've known you for a long time and so many people have a lot of negative things to say about you on the side, on the internet. They'll ask questions. And anytime I hear someone talk about you in a negative way, I stop them because I say, listen, You don't know Tim Sykes the way I know him. He's got the biggest heart. Maybe he talks too aggressively. Maybe he posts aggressively. Maybe he talks about stuff you don't like. But this guy gives and gives and gives, and he helps thousands of people every year change their lives with financial freedom. So I want to acknowledge you for showing up in a big way, having a huge Jew heart that you have, because you have all these Jewish hashtags.
I make Jewish jokes.
You make Jewish jokes, but you have a huge heart, man. And you're real to who you are. You know, you're real to your message, your word. You're unapologetical, but you also know when to apologize if you know you do something wrong.
Yeah.
And I just think it's incredible that you're so unique, raw, and real, and giving that I really acknowledge you for how you show up and how you give back to the world. So I want to acknowledge you for that, my man.
Much appreciated.
Yes.
Living the dream, baby.
Living the dream. And we got one final question. Yeah. What's your definition of greatness?
Whew. Greatness is, I mean,
in one sentence.
This is going to be a run-on sentence. Greatness is different for everybody. There's no one specific definition for, you know, it's not based on money or happiness or fulfillment. It's whatever you can do in this world, in your life, with the time that you're afforded and the talents that you're afforded, as you optimize your talents, ideally, and try to grow your brain and skill set, to just do what you can in this world. And whether it's giving back or teaching or inspiring or making money, or, you know, entertaining or skateboarding or painting or singing, we need to be more open about each other's talents and gifts. And we're all amazing. We all have amazing gifts, and too many people are focused on specific outcomes. Like if you're a great skateboarder, but there's no money in that, or I guess now there's money in that. There's money in everything now because, you know, the internet can make it big. But if your talent isn't necessarily accepted by other people, I mean, I'm a good penny stock trader. I didn't want to be. I'm a good teacher. I didn't want to be. I never anticipated that. But if you go with your talent, you see what feels right, and you take it all the way, that's great.
Mm. Tim Sykes, thanks, bro. Appreciate
thanks.
You. Thank you.
And there you have it, my friends. I hope this inspired you to think bigger about your business, or about, even if you're working somewhere in an organization that you love, to think about how can you contribute and how can you give back. And I'm not expecting all of you to write million-dollar checks right now or at some point in your future. Maybe some of you will, and that's awesome. And some of you, maybe it's $100. Maybe it's $1,000 this year that you give back. But I think the key importance is to learn about how to give back and how to make an impact, not just make money for money's sake, but to make money so that you can give and serve other people. And again, Tim's always been extremely generous and giving to me and the people around me that I introduced him to. So I'm so glad that he is doing what he's doing. He's doing the work he's doing. He's helping a lot of individuals, and he's making a big impact with all of his donations. So big props to Timothy Sykes. Appreciate you, my man. And if you guys enjoyed this, make sure to share it with your friends, lewishowes.com/436. Also, check out our YouTube channel if you want to watch the full video interview with Tim and all the previous interviews as well. They're all back at youtube.com/lewishowes. Guys, let me know what you think about this. Tweet me at Timothy Sykes, at Lewis Howes on Instagram, Twitter, and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.